C-minus 51. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. 1,800 miles from New York, Dan McCarthy sat in the same kind of speechless shock as the Focus 2020 panelists who had just learned that William Godfrey had indeed been covering up data-informed suspicions that the Kerguelen bolide was an unnatural event. That something about the bolide wasn't natural came as no surprise to Dan. Thanks to the painful jolt in his neck during the event, he had known that something unnatural was going on before he even knew what it was. It did surprise him that GSC researchers had seen enough to voice their controversial scientific opinions, and it amazed him that their collectively signed memo had now become public, despite Godfrey's best efforts to suppress it. If Dan could have changed anything, he would have changed Focus 2020's rules to allow Timo and Emma to talk strategy backstage during the commercial break. If he had known that Emma and Timo had set the leak in motion with some help from Alessandro Bonucci and Dan's other old friends in Timo's Italian observatory, he wouldn't have worried about this. During a short commercial break in which Henry said very little, a point Dan didn't mind, given his desire to avoid any conversations that could lead to an accidental slip of the tongue, Clark finally arrived home from his overtime session at the precinct. He walked in wearing his police uniform and with a brown briefcase in his hand. Dan had barely ever seen Clark holding so much as a pen, let alone a briefcase, and if his mind hadn't been otherwise occupied, he would likely have laughed and made a quip about how he looked like a gorilla dressed up as a police officer on the first day of his new job in the big city. "How are you guys doing?" Clark asked. Still annoyed at Dan for telling Timo without clearing it with him and Emma, he looked only at Henry despite addressing the question to both of them.
"Not bad," Henry said. "This thing is getting more exciting than I thought it would be."
Clark looked at the TV, still airing ads, then to the clock on the wall. "Shit, I didn't even realize the time. I'll grab a drink and you guys can catch me up on what's happened so far."
"Someone at the GSC leaked a memo about Kerguelen," Henry said, seeing no sense in waiting until Clark was back from the kitchen. "Apparently they have data that makes them think the bolide wasn't a natural event, and apparently Godfrey has been actively trying to cover it up. Looks like Kendrick was right. Who'd have thought it, huh?"
Clark emerged from the kitchen with no drink in his hand, staring at Dan to try to read his mood without saying anything in front of Henry. In the absence of any knowledge of actual sign language, Dan resorted to the clearest gestures he could think of. First, he pointed to an imaginary watch on his wrist and quickly held up two fingers, followed by a circle shape for 0. 20 minutes. He then pointed to the basement before making a talking sign with his hand. "We need to talk." Clark shrugged with palms as well as shoulders, then mouthed the word, "Why?" As subtly as he could, Dan put his hands together in a sleep sign beside his head, then tapped the back of his neck. This wasn't accurate in the strictest sense. This time he had been summoned to the cornfield in his sleep without having felt any jolts in his neck, but it got the point across. After standing with his wide eyes for several seconds, Clark held out his right hand with the thumb outstretched, alternating between a thumbs up and thumbs down. Dan gave a thumbs up. Clark went back into the kitchen and quickly returned to the couch with beers for him and Henry and a giant energy drink for Dan. His anger over the Timo incident seemed to have faded, for now at least, and Dan was glad to see it.
"Okay," Clark said, opening his beer as the show returned from the commercial break. "Time to watch Godfrey squirm."